music from Sheku and Aisata Kanemason. The brother-sister cello-piano duo released that recording Muse to much acclaim last year. They will make their Toronto debut next Friday, May 6th at Kerner Hall. And we have a very special guest here this afternoon. You're with The Oasis here on the New Classical FM and our look at the arts. Cellist Sheku Kanemason is with us. The Nottingham, England native continues to be one of the most exciting talents within the classical music world here in 2022. He grew up surrounded by music and siblings, seven children in all. After a brief brush with the violin, he was taken by the rich tones of the cello and was noted for his talent early on, playing from memory in grade school. He would go on to scholarships, awards, and later the Royal Academy of Music. The Kanemason story found new heights in 2015 after a family appearance on Britain's Got Talent. Then Sheku won the BBC's Young Musician of the Year award the following year. He joined the groundbreaking Chineke Orchestra and signed a major recording deal with Decca Classics. In 2018, the millions that it enjoyed his energy and tone as a performer changed to billions with a B. His album Inspiration topped the classical charts in the UK and pushed into the top 20 of the pop charts for good measure. It was also the year that the royals, Harry and Meghan, were wed and Sheku Kanemason was invited to perform. From there, he released Elgar in 2020, an album that reached similar heights, including number one here on the New Classical FM Top 20 chart last year, a long-awaited recording from Sheku and his sister pianist Aisata Kanemason titled Muse, featuring works from Barber and Rachmaninoff. Her debut album, Romance, and last year's Summertime, also chart-topping bestsellers. Next Friday, May 6th, the duo make their Toronto debuts, performing works from Beethoven, Shostakovich, and Britten. It is my pleasure to have Sheku Kanemason here on The Oasis for the first time. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So thrilling that you've taken a bit of time to be with us. It's just been inspiring to watch your career. And I would imagine after a couple of years of lockdowns and so on, it's been a real mixed bag for you. How's 2022 shaping up for you?
It's going well so far. I'm very glad to be back performing very, very regularly.
Yeah.
And touring and traveling and stuff. That's, of course, what I enjoy most about being a musician, being able to travel and perform for audiences around the world. And so I'm very grateful to be able to do that.
I remember following along in 2020 at the height of the lockdowns, and it seemed like the Kanemason family was suddenly more important than ever. There was a lot of performing going on in the household.
Yeah, we did do a lot of streamed Facebook Live concerts. It was at one point about two a week from home. And it was nice to have structure from doing that and having something to work towards each week and keeping repertoire going. Also being creative and, you know, making arrangements of things together. So it was nice to have other musicians to play with during that lockdown. I know a lot of musicians didn't have that luxury, so we were grateful for that.
I imagine a household like that, it keeps a guy honest, doesn't it, right? All these musicians all around you, and your parents have had these incredible careers themselves, and whatever limelight is on you the rest of the time you get home, and I'm sure it's just the same old dynamic.
Exactly, yeah. Nothing has changed since we were children, and it's funny, when we get together as a family, all seven of us, it does always feel like it always was when we were younger. It's chaotic and fun. Yeah, I always enjoy that.
We heard about this incredible musical life for you over the last decade, just moments ago in the intro there. But I think back to 2018, releasing Inspiration, playing Harry and Meghan's wedding, such a visible moment for you. That's a lot of attention. Was it as intense as it looked those last 5 years for you?
I suppose, yes, it has been intense, but an intensity that I've enjoyed. And I think for me, the most important thing and the thing that I've really valued is remaining focused on my development with this music and repertoire that I've grown up loving and being inspired by, and spending each day really investigating and properly doing my studies, as well as, you know, I've grown from the opportunity of being able to perform with lots of different orchestras and in lots of different places as well. So to keep the balance of those two things.
It is a great balancing act. I think of you did land on pop charts with some of these recordings and so on, and you've not been shy about perhaps putting on a piece from Bob Marley and other people. How do you balance that crossover element? Because I think there's always a little pressure from record companies and so on to find that familiarity. But at the same time, I think it's so important to stick with your core. And so how do you gauge that and measure that and make those decisions?
I make decisions on what to play based on what I want to play, essentially, and music that I have been inspired by and that I love, and that I feel I have something to say with. I think that's the most important criteria. You know, I have made some arrangements of Bob Marley songs, for example. That's because that's the music that I grew up with. And I enjoy improvising and playing around with tunes that I have been listening to. And so it normally comes from that side of things instead of the agenda of wanting to perform something that people know, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. I do think of the cello too. Something that you've done so beautifully is you've sort of carved out an identity and a tone for yourself with your instrument. And I guess that follows the repertoire you choose and the recordings you choose, but also, you know, your performance style and who you are as a person out there on stage. Has that been something important to find an identity within all that's out there, all the noise?
Yeah, definitely. And to always, as long as I play what I really, really want to play and also put in the proper amount of work and time and focus into my practice, I think that is always going to be valuable and mean that every time I perform, I'm sure of what, trying to be sure of what I'm saying musically, and always being open as well to listening to music and to different musicians.
I should ask what you are listening to right now.
A big range. I mean, last night I was listening to a lot of Malian music, so music from Mali, which is West Africa. Yeah. I just came across an album that I hadn't heard before, and it's incredibly beautiful, melodic music. That's the most recent thing I was listening to.
It is great, right, to put that into your head and just to, I mean, I don't know about you, but I try to be open all the time and just let those filter into my life and try not to get too regimented about what I'm taking in.
Exactly. It just expands your imagination. I mean, of course, often it does directly sort of add to what I do as a musician and my playing, but sometimes it's just enjoyable. And sometimes, yeah, it's just expands.
Heaven
expands
forbid.
My imagination. Yeah.
If you are just joining us, cellist Sheku Kanamason is with us. He will make his Toronto debut next Friday, May 6th at Kerner Hall, alongside his sister, celebrated pianist Isata Kanamason. And the evening will include works from Beethoven and Shostakovich, Frank Bridge, Benjamin Britten, rcmusic.ca for info and a few Hail Mary tickets left over. I remember reading, and I guess it was the New Yorker, that seeing you and your sister in performance, really, the writer just couldn't say enough about it. Such an electric performance. It was a glowing review. Was there any hesitation in going down this path with her over the last couple of years, touring and recording? And it's really become a little more public with these tours and the record.
Yeah, we grew up playing and performing together. And I think it's really nice to have the luxury of being able to play with a pianist and work on repertoire for cello and piano with someone that I've played with for so many years, basically since I started. Yeah, there's, of course, a lot of trust, therefore, on stage in what each other is going to do and trust in what we say to each other in rehearsals.
A sibling can cut through the noise, though, pretty quick, too. You know, they can see right through some of the...
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really nice to have that, to be able to be very honest and push each other. Right. Also, because I know how well she can play. And if she's not doing that, then I will tell her and vice versa. She will tell me. And so we always have that accountability as well.
You did Muse. It was a big hit on our chart here in Toronto, works of Barber and Rachmaninoff. I guess that would be what you would call a pandemic record. And I've talked to a lot of musicians about that experience. Was it a good experience under the conditions over the last couple of years?
Different experience, I would say. It was nice because we were locked down together. We were able to rehearse both the Rachmaninoff and Barber sonatas a lot over those few months that we were at home in Nottingham before we made this recording. And I think because we had the time to focus on that, we weren't performing and doing our individual things as well, we were able to really focus in on this repertoire. And so it's a recording, yeah, that we were both very proud of.
I'm very curious because we just got an interesting announcement here in Toronto. I'll ask you to talk to us quickly about the Chineke Orchestra. It's just been announced that the ensemble will play Kerner Hall next season. First time to Canada, my understanding. And you're going to be in the same venue next week. What is this orchestra? Why was it so important to your growth as an artist and performer? Because there just seems to be a lot of light on it right now.
Yeah, it's a wonderful family of musicians that I've been really inspired by working with and sharing stories with and just being inspired by each other. But also in every performance, it really feels like the audience is inspired by seeing musicians of the highest level not looking as you would expect an orchestra to look like, I guess. For me, the most important thing is the inspiration element of that for young people and for not so young people as well. Yeah, I've really enjoyed being a part of this orchestra, playing in the cello section and also as a soloist as well.
And when I am attending concerts in that world where we are seeing, you know, the diversity of the world on stage, and this is increasingly happening in New York, it's obviously we're getting an orchestra like this visiting Toronto. Your experience is obviously different than mine, but for me, there's a sense of almost relief that there's this, along with the joy of it, it's the sense of, okay, we're seeing these steps forward happening in different places around the world. And within the classical world, I think that's pretty vital and important.
It's definitely important and it's exciting. And it's important in everyone benefits from inclusion and diversity. And I think the future of classical music does really rely on that. And so I think it's important for
it hinges
everyone,
on
not
it.
Not just black musicians.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your program in Toronto. Beethoven, Shostakovich, two cello sonatas there. Frank Bridge, the Sonata for Cello and Piano, Benjamin Britten. It feels like you're dipping into different parts of your career and your repertoire.
Yeah, it's a program that I'm looking forward to performing and have enjoyed performing. The Bridge and Britten sonatas are pieces of music that growing up in the UK as a cellist, I've of course known for a long time. I'm not sure how much that music has traveled. And so it's nice to travel with that music that I've grown up loving and feel very strongly about. Shostakovich is a composer that I've always connected with as well, and his writing for the cello, really, really incredible. His music in general is incredible, but his writing for the cello, I think, is very special. His two cello concertos I've enjoyed performing. But his cello sonata is written much earlier in his life compared to the cello concertos, which were both written for Rostropovich. This wasn't, and it's nice to see earlier side of Shostakovich. And then the Beethoven sonata is one of my favorite of the five cello sonatas. I mean, they're all amazing pieces, but this one has always been one of my favorites. Amazing the way it's crafted and economical and just beautiful.
And I do think, like you say, it is special to hear the Bridge and the Britten. And we talk about this all the time with some of the composers that perhaps don't get the same treatment in the modern context. So it's nice for you to take these out on tour. And it's just been announced you'll play the Proms this year, I think wrapping up the Proms with Lisa Davidson. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. I've performed at the Proms. It will be my sixth time, I think. But the last night I've never been to or performed at. I think it'd be an exciting occasion.
She is something else. I mean, just a total rising star right now.
Absolutely incredible, yeah. So I'm really excited to do something with her. I think she's an amazing performer and has just an incredible voice.
Sheku Kanamason, this has been a real treat to speak with you, and it's been an absolute pleasure to follow your career over this last, especially, you know, after these last three or four records and the touring and everything you've been able to do. So thank you for being with us.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The latest album is with his sister, Asata. It's Muse on Decca. And, by the way, anything you can tell us about recording-wise that we should know about?
Oh, in the future.
Yeah.
I will be recording some more, yeah, but no specific projects yet.
All right. It's tucked away for now. Cello Sheku Kanamason and his sister pianist Isata Kanamason play Kerner Hall on Friday, May 6th. Next week, rcmusic.com for information and tickets. And it's an absolute must-see as part of this season. This is music from the most recent album, Muse.